and thank you for this opportunity to talk here about the political dimensions of the Bauhaus. A brief introduction, I might reiterate something that's been said, but I'll try to be more concrete as to how we've organized today's programme and the shape that that's going to take in the various different panels. First of all, the title that we've selected for the event, the title, How Political is the Bauhaus? It's in the present tense. It's supposed to extend far beyond the question of how political it was in its own day. The thematic context encompasses reception, development, appropriation of the ideas in various contexts. The title, however, focuses above all on the present. How political is the Bauhaus still today? In 2015, during the Bundestag debate on funding support for the Bauhaus centenary, everyone agreed that the Bauhaus symbolizes an open and cosmopolitan approach. Since then, the political situation has changed in Germany. The new right wing are trying to gain power over cultural institutions, scope to interpret situations, in some cases by threatening protests and violence, by insults in social media, parliamentary questions on the purported neutrality of cultural institutions and critical projects. The Bauhaus was always subject to attacks from the right as well. That led to the Bauhaus being driven out of Weimar to Dessau and then to Berlin. And that culminated in the definitive seizure of power by the Nazis with flight, exile and murder of members of the Bauhaus. The Bauhaus is thus exemplary for a much broader tragedy. After the Second World War, there was a societal consensus of never again. But this consensus is at stake once again. We need to look back and ask, can we learn something from Bauhaus history for resisting the right to struggling for a socially just, open, emancipated world? The question is a complex one. Trust in technological progress, industrialization, rationalization, mass production, globalized economic change has led to a segregation between rich and poor around the world. Things such as climate change, people fleeing poverty, hunger, and war are reflected locally and are everyday realities once again. The question, how political is the Bauhaus, can only reasonably be addressed if we don't put the Bauhaus on a pedestal, but look at the imminent controversies, contradictions and debates. We're looking at that in four panels today. First of all, the question of housing and urban design. Dessau invited the Bauhaus to be based there. That was linked to a political demand that the school develop new concepts for affordable housing. The panel will look at the question of the extent to which this has been achieved in Dessau. We'll look at the development of prefab high-rises and large housing estates and the way in which post-war modernity was implemented in Eastern and Western Germany to provide large-scale housing. We'll look at what it's like to live today in large housing estates such as Gropiusstadt, cooperating in highly diverse districts, and how the new right are trying to benefit from current urban crises. Third panel, emancipation, internationalisation. The Bauhaus was linked to hope for an emancipatory societal model where internationality would take the place of nationalism and old hierarchies would be overturned. Unlike many other art academies, women could participate in the Bauhaus, but they mainly focused just on the weaving workshop, not on the rest of the curriculum, which they were largely excluded from. In the post-war period, modernity spread internationally. It became part of globalization by asserting its universalism. Industrial standardization and mass production tried out in the Bauhaus workshops led to global production logics, which rather than ensuring fundamental living standards for all, consolidated global inequalities to this day. The aspiration of equal treatment, both in gender terms and in terms of people from different backdrops and cultures, has not really filtered through into practice. We see more and more traditional gender roles and racism. Four, attacks from the right. In Germany, as elsewhere, right-wing populism is spreading and right-wing radicalism has reared its ugly head in many areas. Rights and freedoms won by previous generations are under threat. The pluralistic and democratic societies face crises. Cultural institutions face attacks from right-wing forces. Against this backdrop, can the Bauhaus come up with conceptual resources and strategies for dealing with societal crises and right-wing developments? The first panel now. The experience of the First World War, the November Revolution, and the foundation of the Weimar Republic, industrialization, urbanization, the emergence of mass media, and the Great Depression led to profound societal upheavals. The Bauhaus came into being in this moment of upheaval. Some members of the Bauhaus were part of the Arbeitsrat für Kunst, the working group for art, and the November group, which emerged as part of the November Revolution. With the help of art and architecture, they wanted to bring about a social and aesthetic revolution in Germany to create a new society. Marion von Osten is going to be talking about the pedagogical approach arising from this context. Together, Grant Watson, she leads the international exhibition and event project Bauhaus Imaginista, looking at the global intermeshing around the world into networks of the Bauhaus. With the emergence of the Bauhaus and its shaping as a global brand, its political content has partly been lost. At the same time, the image of its radicality and progressiveness is a myth. It's the result of stylization by those directly involved and by others. The success of the Bauhaus lies in the mitigation of its partly revolutionary design and educational concepts in favour of economic aspects. These are the arguments put forward by Mark Wigley and Beatrice Colomina. Mark Wigley is a professor of architecture at Columbia University, New York, and Beatrice Colomina is architectural historian, theoretician, and looks at radical pedagogies. And Mark Wigley, as I was saying, teaches in Columbia and does research on architecture, art, philosophy, art and technology, curated numerous exhibition projects. In conjunction with Beatrice Colomina, the third Istanbul Design Biennale, with the title Are We Human? And Are We Human? In Istanbul looked at how the design dimension can penetrate our ideas, our thinking, and ultimately the entire world. Questions that are also very much Bauhaus questions. With the title Undoing the Bauhaus, they taught a two-person seminar at Columbia and Princeton University, a double seminar, and with their students, they also participated in the Project Bauhaus workshop at the Floating University, which brings me to the last presentation of the first panel, the Floating University, which was called into being by Raum Labor in Berlin as a testing ground for shared learning and visions of urban practice. We invited Dorothy Halbrock, Programme Director of Floating University, and Benjamin Fausto Baldinius, who initiated the project and is a founding member of Raum Labor. Although Floating University was held within the context of the Bauhaus 100 programme, it doesn't explicitly refer to the Bauhaus as a role model. Does it still make sense to have an artistic and design academy based on the Bauhaus model, or must different kinds of locuses be created for self-organized democratic learning? Can this kind of place contribute to shared visions for life together in the future? But coming back now to the historical point of departure, I'd like to welcome Marion von Osten.